We're going to go to the State Bank and Trust Hotline, State Bank, where they say connect with us, and welcome in Tim Manners, author of the book Schoolboy, which is about New York Yankee pitcher Wade Hoyt, and it is a fantastic read. Tim, first of all, thanks so much for sending me a copy, and how are you this morning?
I am living the schoolboy dream.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's a fantastic book, and it's one of those books where you're like, wow, Wade Hoyt, what didn't he do in his life? He was absolutely everywhere all the time. How much fun was this to visit with him and write this book with a guy that has memory after memory?
Well, it was the most fun I've had with a project ever, all time. I mean, it just was incredible. The life that he lived truly was an odyssey. He's best remembered, obviously, as the ace pitcher of arguably one of the greatest baseball teams, if not the greatest baseball team of all time, New York Yankees. But for 24 years, he was the beloved radio voice of the Cincinnati Reds. And in between that, he was a vaudeville star. He was a mortician. He was an oil painter. And he played some pro basketball, and he played football in college. It was like there was nothing this guy couldn't do.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. It's a great read because you're like, he just did what? Now he's doing what now? I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. Were there stories that you couldn't fit because it seems like this guy's life was 100% full?
Well, I think I got all the good parts in. I mean, it was really just one jaw-dropping anecdote after another. There is more. I mean, he has reams of material on other players that, you know, I suppose I could have put in the book, but I wanted to keep the focus more on Wade himself.
My favorite part, as I read it this week, was Chapter 12, the Christmas present. What a great Christmas present. Gets traded to the Yankees. That had been a fun to revisit that moment with him.
Well, that was an amazing thing, too, because prior to that, he had been signed to the Boston Red Sox. And he had pitched one full season and then part of another season with the Red Sox. He became injured. He was involved in some locker room horseplay where there was like this light bulb hanging from a cord from the ceiling, and the players were taking turns kicking it, and he ended up with a hernia in the hospital, and it kind of short-circuited his season with the Red Sox. But so it was a guy named Ed Barrow who had been the general manager of the Red Sox who brought Wade to the Sox and then moved over to the Yankees and engineered the whole sort of infamous, depending on your point of view, purchase of Babe Ruth. And about a year later, he signed Wade. And it was entirely on the strength of the word of Wade's father, Addison Hoyt, who had rehabilitated his son. This just gives you an idea of how different and how quaint things were back in the day, that they worked over the wintertime, Wade and his dad just throwing the ball back and forth until Wade's arm was sufficiently strong. And purely because Addison Hoyt, Wade's father, told Ed Barrow that Wade was in good condition, that he was signed to the New York Yankees. I mean, can you imagine something like that ever happening in this day and age? It's really quite incredible.
Well, the funny part is the injury itself, right? Could you imagine the guy's getting hurt, pulling a groin, trying to kick a light bulb?
Yeah. How dumb could you be? Seriously. But he was a smart guy. I don't mean to cast aspersions, of course.
You know, Tim, this is such a unique way that a book is written. And the fact that this is his story told by him, but you had to do it through his writings, right?
It's such a
unique way. Like, what was that like to have to be able to write this book using his words, his writing, his letter, but not having him as a source for it?
That was the magic of the book, really. I think really the gift of the book. This all came about because one of Wade's sons, Chris Hoyt, is a dear friend of mine. I've known him for 40 years. He was my client. I was in the PR business. And the subject of Wade and the fact that he had never finished a memoir came up multiple times over the years. So it got to a point where about 4 years ago, I was having dinner with Chris, and he just looked at me and said, you know, I have 8 boxes of my dad's materials. I'm sending them to you. And so he, you know, this wasn't a question. He just sent these boxes. And before I knew it, there were 8 boxes of Wade Hoyt's files sitting on my front porch, which was a little bit chaotic at first to go through all this material. But I knew I struck gold when I found this 3-ring binder that was filled with hundreds of pages of interview transcripts that Wade had done just a few years before he passed. They were conducted by Wade's niece, Ellen, who was Chris's cousin, who had it in mind that she was going to write a biography and never got around to it. And when I saw those transcripts and I went through them, I realized that there was an opportunity here to do something really special, which was to write the entire book as a true memoir in Waite's own words, 40 years after he died, which is a rare thing. And it really is a gift because he's telling stories that only he could tell about players, really, who he, you know, people like Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig and Ty Cobb. Gehrig and Ruth were his teammates, Ty Cobb obviously an opponent, but he brings a certain perspective to those men that I think nobody else can.
So his work in the offseason as a funeral director, was that like a family business? Was that a passion of his? How did he get into that?
I don't think it was a passion of his. Yeah, it was a family business. It was because his father-in-law at the time was in the mortuary business, and Waite was looking kind of past his baseball career and thinking that maybe he, you know, might be something he could do. That didn't quite work out, but there's a funny story attached to it, which is that there was an afternoon game at Yankee Stadium. At the same time, Waite had to deliver a body to Brooklyn. So he packed the body in the trunk of his car, put some ice in there, parked it in the parking lot at Yankee Stadium, pitched the game, and then delivered the body to Brooklyn.
Oh, that's awesome. That's something that you only did back then, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you get pulled over with a body in your trunk back then. You can explain it. I'm a funeral. Now that's not going to fly. Tim, why is it that you think that Waite, just in general and in baseball history, gets lost? I mean, he clearly had an amazing life. He played on the greatest baseball team ever. There are so many names that people know coming off of that roster that just is at the top of everybody's mind when they talk about baseball. How has he gotten lost in history, especially with not just his playing career, but what he did in the broadcasting booth afterwards?
237 wins as a pitcher.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, arguably the best pitcher, not just of the 1927 Yankees, but of overall that era of the 1920s. He pitched three complete games, 27 innings in the 1921 series, without allowing an earned run, something that only Christy Mathewson had done. Of course, the Yankees managed to lose that series anyway to the Giants. But, you know, to answer your question, I mean, he was unknown to me. I had never heard of him, and I was very embarrassed by that when Chris said, you know, my dad was a Hall of Fame pitcher for the 1927 Yankees. And I said, what was his name? And he said, Waite Hoyt. And I was like, who, what, when, where, why? What? You know, I'd never heard of him. And then I started looking into him, and I just couldn't believe that he, as you say, had been lost to history. And I think a lot of it has to do with just the fact that in that era, pitchers didn't get the same amount of attention as the hitters. Everybody was turning out to see Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig hit those bombs. And, of course, Babe Ruth was an outsized personality. He had a press agent. Waite had none of that kind of press attention. And Gehrig, of course, because of the tragedy of his passing, and, you know, not take anything away from them as players, they were terrific. So it is somewhat surprising that he is not as well remembered as they are, at the same time not so surprising. The extent that he is remembered, it certainly is as the voice of the Reds, because he was on the radio for the Reds for 24 years, and there are still people around who are getting on in years as very young people used to tune in and listen to Waite. I hear from them almost every day about how much they loved Waite Hoy, in particular his really unique style of radio, which was centered on telling stories, which, of course, he did the play-by-play as he was supposed to, but whenever there was a lull in the game, you know, he'd salt in some story about Ty Cobb or Luke Gehrig or Babe Ruth, most of all when there was a rain delay. And he was known to hold forth for an hour or two just telling stories. Most famously, the afternoon that Babe Ruth passed away, Waite announced it on the air and then said, stick around after the show, after the game, and we'll just talk Babe Ruth for a while. And he talked Babe Ruth for well over an hour.
That's awesome.
And just totally extemporaneously, no script at all. You can find that audio on YouTube. It's really worth checking out. It's epic.
The book is A Schoolboy Tim Manners. Where can people find it?
Amazon is probably the fastest route, although bookstores are stocking it as well.
Thanks for joining us, Tim Manners. Yeah. We're up against the break. This was a great visit. I hope everybody gets this book because it's fantastic.